During that time you were there, were you thinking, I'd like to own my own oil company?
Absolutely.
Drilling?
Absolutely, because I'd worked for my dad on the farm, and I wanted to get away from working for my dad as soon as I could. My dad was a great guy. I loved him dearly, and he was a wonderful, wonderful parent. But that working for relatives is just not a thing that I absolutely love, because it seemed like you got all the blame and none of the credit. If something went wrong, it surely was my fault. But if something went right, it usually was not my accomplishment. Right. I couldn't develop any credit. I couldn't develop anything there working for him. I was just the nephew there.
Right. So you decided to leave.
Yeah, even though he was a wonderful teacher, yes, and a wonderful man, and taught me everything he could possibly teach me, I wanted to be responsible. I wanted my own deal going, and I wanted to live in Tulsa. During that time, I had been dating my college sweetheart in Oklahoma City. We got married, and she moved to Bristow. She was a big-town Oklahoma City girl, and she thought when our first son was coming up on 6 years old, we ought to be in the Tulsa school system. She liked it better. Bristow was a great town, but we actually bought a little house up here in Tulsa, and I commuted back and forth to Bristow, and we got our son in first grade up here.
But then you were interested in your own company.
I wanted my own company desperately. So I started going around to some contacts I'd met with my uncle and others. I tried to meet everybody I could that was in the oil business. By this time, my granddad had died, so I had to pretty much go out on my own and meet all these people. I had never borrowed any money. I tried to borrow a little money to buy a used boat when my wife was pregnant with my second son. I wanted to refurbish this boat, use it for the summer, which I did, but I went to the bank and I said, I want to borrow $1,500. They said, sure, we'll be glad to do that if your uncle Rick will co-sign it. I said, what? And they said, yeah, if he'll co-sign it, because you don't have any line of credit. I said, well, thank you a lot, and I left. And I said, there's no way in hell I'm going to do that. That was a Republican bank, and my uncle was a strong Republican. And he was past district governor of Rotary Club and all that good stuff, so he was the man. Anyway, I went down to the Democrat bank and told them what I wanted to do. They said, sure, we'll loan you the money.
In Bristow.
Yeah, so that started my line of credit right there, and I paid them back, too. But they had a good contact with the Bank of Oklahoma up here and some others. I said, I really want to get my own drilling company, I think, because I'm on my own oil company, but oil wells, you got to raise money to drill them or borrow the money. I didn't want to borrow the money. You got to have a deal, promote it, get the well drilled, then you got to sell the oil, and then you got to wait for the people that bought the oil to pay you. So that's a long time lag, and I didn't have any money. I had $10,000 that I had saved up. I guess I need to tell you where I got $10,000 to. That's kind of interesting.
Yes.
Willer Rock Oil Company was a tightly held private little oil company. They had awarded me a little award stock, $1,500 worth, that I had. The only market for it was to sell it back to them. And they didn't want to buy it because that was holding me to the company. Well, the lawyer next door rented us the space for a little office down in Bristow. He had always kind of wanted to work a little wedge into that company some way. They had three offices in that building. And I said, would you be interested in buying this stock? And I said, the only market is right next door back to them. He said, yeah, I'd buy that. I was going to leave anyway. I said, I'll sell you this if I go ahead and put the rest of my deal together, if you would. I'd always been interested in airplanes. I had a $700 ski boat that we were drilling a well in the middle of the Cushing Airport, right between the triangle runways over there built for the military. We were drilling a well right in the middle of the airport. We had a breakdown and had to go to Oklahoma City to get some parts. The guy at the airport said, why don't I fly you down this little Piper Pacer here and get your part? You can come back. Wasn't a very big part, so I was impressed with that time savings of flying to Oklahoma City back. So I said, I got to get me an airplane. He said, I'll sell you this airplane over here. It was $700 for that airplane. And I had a $700 ski boat. I didn't have any money, but said, would you be interested in trading? He said, I've been wanting a ski boat. So he traded me that $700 airplane for my $700 ski boat. This airplane didn't have any radios, didn't have an electric starter. You spun the prop. It was an Aeronica Chief. My uncle didn't like airplanes much, and I was working for him. I said, well, I traded for this airplane, and it's the light, the wind may blow it away. But he taught me how to fly, the guy over there at Cushing, while we were doing that well. I couldn't get my license in it because it didn't have an electric system, no radio. You need a radio and you need to be able to navigate electronically, VORs and stuff. But anyhow, I did some flying around in that thing. I was real interested in airplanes. I got to have a better airplane. So I had this $1,500 from that stock deal. And there was an old dentist down in, I think it was in Holdenville, I believe Boone's hometown. He'd gotten into some kind of a situation on a trip to Alaska in his V-tail Bonanza, where he'd gotten in some bad weather and he got all disoriented. When he got out into the clear of the clouds, he was aimed straight down at the ground and not too far from it. And he pulled back hard. He really overstressed the airplane. He bent it. But the airplane stayed together and he got it on the ground. Somehow or other, I guess he flew it back from Alaska. But it was bent from overstressing and he wanted to sell it. Normally, Bonanzas in those days were going for $40,000 or $50,000. But he had a very limited market. Somebody would buy a bent airplane. And that limited market was me. He sold it to me for $1,500. So he was rid of that bent airplane. I was afraid to fly in it, too, but had a friend that was a Bonanza pilot. And I said, this thing's bent, but would you go down with me and get that airplane? I think I got an airplane dealer in Oklahoma City that'll buy it. He said, yeah, we'll pick a real quiet, still morning and we'll go get that thing. And we flew it down to Oklahoma City to this fellow, and I sold it to him for $10,000. So I had $10,000 in this airplane trade.
When you said bent, how do you mean bent?
Well, right behind the seats where you sit, the fuselage had a big concave place in it where the fuselage had bent. It didn't bend the tail any. V-tail Bonanza's got these Vs at the back like this for controls. One of the wings, right at the root of the wing where it joins the fuselage, there are some big spars that go through there. I think he was going 300 miles an hour when he said he's pointed straight down. It scared the living heck out of him. He never wants to set foot in that airplane again, but it had bent this one wing up just a little bit, and there was a big wrinkle going right back on this upper skin of this wing. Of course, this other guy and I looked over at some inspection place and looked at the spar and everything. It wasn't cracked, but it was definitely bent under there. It was repairable with a good mechanic. It had some other wrinkles around on it where it had gone almost to the point of failure, but it didn't come apart.
But anyway, that gave you $10,000.
It did.